Let me first start by introducing myself. I'm Martin Ford. I'm from the Caribbean, teach at St. George's University in Grenada. And also another caveat, unlike I guess the panelists that you're hearing and will hear after me, my day job is not explicitly or intimately related with ethics. I'm a researcher, and as I go through this presentation, you'll see why I'm emphasizing that point. In doing research, obviously we have to do that in an ethical way, and when you're doing research with a number of people on different domains, for example the north, by north I mean developed countries, south, developing countries such as the Caribbean, and you're involved in teams that pull together people from these different areas, you can run into some unique challenges. And so my title is Ethical Challenges and Issues Facing North-South Global Population Health Research Collaborations. My co-PIs are listed there by the acronym SAMKET, which basically I created to make it easier than saying all the names based on the first letters of our first names. And we had two other assistants in doing this process for this particular research. I need to state that I have no relationships to disclose. So let me backtrack a little bit and give you a background on what led to this particular presentation. Back in 2006, the Canadian Global Health Research Initiative had a Teasdale Corti initiative which awarded approximately $1.6 million four-year grants to about 14 North-South research teams. North meaning researchers were from Canada, South researchers were Canadian researchers were paired up with researchers either in Central and South America, the Caribbean, Africa, China, and other parts of East Asia. All of these teams were engaged in North-South population research. Research was always done in the southern part of that dyad. And in doing that research, many of them encountered unique ethical challenges. So, a couple of years into this process, one of the managing Canadian Federation that manages Teasdale Corti grants, the IDRC, they sent out a letter of intent saying, we're getting a lot of issues coming in, ethical issues, and we're being asked to advise. And so we think it's useful to have a grant put out there to look at what are these challenges are. And so five of the 14 teams submitted proposes to look at these emerging ethical challenges, and of those five, two were eventually awarded $70,000 each to look at these issues and challenges that arise when specifically doing global population health research, and the team that I was on was one of those two. So is this firstly an issue, and why should we be interested? Well, again, these North-South large collaborative teams are different to maybe your other typical bread and butter type of research experiences. One, they're global in nature, involving disparate areas of the planet. For example, the team that I was on, we were involved in over 15 different countries. Many of these teams had multidisciplinary researchers, so it was not all public health or even within public health you have many disciplines, and in many cases had to involve multiple research ethics boards or institutional review boards. So you're not just dealing with one IRB getting approval and processing. You normally, in the case of my team, I was involved with 15 different IRBs, and again I can do another presentation on how that just look at my head and you can see the result. So there were new challenges, new headaches, so not all bad. I don't want to contextualize this as being a completely negative experience. So challenges, yes, there were headaches, there were anxieties, and there were concerns, both from researchers and ethic IRB members as to how to do what we want to do in an ethical manner. So you might say, well, give me an example. What are some of the issues that you would face that are different from your usual bread and butter research proposal? For example, which IRB decides what goes into research project's final research activity? Should that decision be driven by the researcher's preference for which IRB he or she likes? Should it be the funder that stipulates which IRB should be used? Or should it be where the research participants reside? And if you choose either one of these options, what is your rationale for doing so? What are your reasons? Another issue, what to do when there are discrepancies between North and South Research Ethics Committees with respect to interpretation on how to avoid exploitation of vulnerable populations? So in my case, I had that very clearly happen where two IRBs, one in the North, one in my institution, had a very different interpretation of how to protect the vulnerable population that we were going into that were completely opposite. So what does the researcher like more do? How does one best manage another issue, equity issues in research partnerships? And this not necessarily among team members, but also institutions. You have multiple institutions and they have different issues, and how do you manage those? Another issue, how does one resolve any ethical dilemmas that may arise when several moral values apply in a given situation? Still another, what is the best way to handle, resolve ethical issues related to knowledge ownership? Who owns it? The North, the South, both? What about the institutions involved in both of these areas? And again, I could go on and on and on of novel issues that arise in global population health. The fact is that this area, when you're involved in global population health, it creates novel ethical and moral scenarios that we have to look to see whether the tools we have are adequate to dealing with that. So before I continue, let me just tell you a little bit more about us. Myself Dr. Angela Gomez, who was at the time also working at the same institution I was, represented the South, and we then had my co-PI, Dr. Karen Morrison, and we got Sandra Thompson to join us as the Northern. So within our own investigative team, we had North and South researchers. So we had that nicely done. Gender-wise, it didn't work out too well. I was the only guy on the thing, on this committee, but that's how it, and in fact, we did a self-study to see what these challenges are, even in how we operate. And again, sorry for time, I won't be able to report on those results. So let me just again establish why we need to do this. Why should we study North-South research teams? One reason, there is intra-team tensions that can derail your work. The idea of respect, trust can be undermined. The perception from the South might be that Northern researchers are always in a big rush. You know, they always want things done by these things called deadlines. And vice versa, the South, you know, you have the different perceptions of the research approaches to be implemented. So for example, the Commandant's the Canadian way of doing it, the American way of doing it, and sometimes the idea of patronizing, you know. Power imbalances, I think in one of the previous presentations, are quite evident, or can become quite evident in North-South relationships, especially not just between researchers, but funders, where the money is coming from. And then there's a lack of literacy, not only by researchers, but also by ethics board members that can create problems. Other reasons, different institution IRBs can require very different measures. When you're navigating multiple IRBs, it can be costly and slow. I don't know if you're a researcher like me, you submit a proposal to the IRB and it's like a black box and you just pray and hope that it comes back. You know it's going to come back with some question. You know, you didn't dot your T there and you didn't cross your I and cross your T. Sometimes they ask for money and is that ethical? Then the issue of ethics versus procedural ethics. Sometimes the whole process of getting ethics approval feels unethical. Again, I can do another presentation on that, but time doesn't allow me. Evaluation criteria for programs may have ethical dimensions. So all of these are reasons why we should study that. So how do we do that? Well, firstly, we came to quickly realize that when we talk about ethics, it's not just about this particular circle there. You have an IRB or Research Ethics Board and you get ethics approval, but ethics is involved in a number of dynamic relationships that must take place. For example, you have participants embedded in the community. How do you ethically relate with them? How do you ethically relate with your funder or funders? What about the ethics in relating with grant controlling organizations, with the governments in the countries that you're doing your research, with research assistants, with field staff? And all of that is contextualized by guidelines from the north, guidelines from the south, legal rules, moral principles, institutional requirements, and so on and so forth. So we have two hypotheses: that the standard bioethics guidance, which is sort of this doctor-patient clinical trial model, may not be adequate for north-south health research. And the second hypothesis, that a narrow understanding of northern ethical guidelines is a source of ethical disagreements between north-south. And we use applied ethics and moral theory to try and tease out answers to those two questions. We use a moral framework, various values such as respect, just, autonomy, honesty, and then the principles, which are the actions one uses to operationalize those values. We use a mixed methods approach, different things. Each of these, again, unfortunately, I can't present all of the data on, but let me just show you a very small snippet. For example, the principles that are used, ethics boards members and researchers, both of them rely on them. So there's no difference in terms of which ones are more used than, or if one is more used than the other. In terms of which is more important, for example, is ethics more important than efficiency? Both researchers and ethics board members that we interviewed both said that it is important, though I found it somewhat interesting that the ethics board members found it, you know, almost 80% that ethics is more important than efficiency. There was less gusto in that with respect to researchers. Summarizing again some of the other results quickly, only 40% of northern trained ethics board members, as opposed to 80% of southern trained ethics board members, are satisfied with the ethics review process as it applies specifically to the north-south research proposals. Interestingly, 31% of northern trained EB members, and twice as many, 67%, thought that the review of north-south research applications required members to receive specific training. With respect to how many thought that they had a lot of experience, very little. 90% of northern EB members and 70% of southern EB members said that they had a lot of experience reviewing north-south research proposals. And very tellingly, less than 50% of ethics board members, irrespective of where they were trained, said that their board had a process to resolve conflicts, challenges that may have arisen when ethics boards or community organizations are involved in collaborative research. So in light of the two hypotheses that we had, first hypothesis, the standard bioethical guidelines in North are not adequate for North-South public health research, we found that you really need to have this dynamic network of ethical relationships that I showed you, those multiple circles. They better capture the dynamic, complex ethical issues than the current bioethics doctor-patient model, and that the power dynamics are different than in the bioethics model. The second hypothesis we had was that a narrow understanding of northern guidance are the source of ethical disagreement between north-south. Anytime you have to say the northern way or the Canadian way, that already implies there's some difference going on. And so we're seeing that cultural differences and communications are key. The interpretation of what confidentiality means, sometimes it's too much, it's too little. The problem of conflating legal requirements and where you're located with ethicals, what is legal may not always be ethical. And then ethical illiteracy among both researchers and research team members causes challenges. So quickly, recommendations. I think I have about a minute. We gave, in this particular research, we had to submit a report over 200 pages long, in which we had recommendations for IRB members, recommendations for universities and other research institutions, recommendations for funders, and for North-South research collaboration teams. If you want said report, you can access it on that website. If you are familiar with ResearchGate or academia.edu, go into that and just look for my name, Martin Ford, and you will be able to download and read for bedtime 200 pages of some fascinating research. So some concluding results. Ethics issues prevalent in North-South population health are not arising because we have fundamentally different values in the North versus the South. We all have the same, we value respect, do no harm, those things are constant. However, many researchers refer to the constraints of the complex institutional settings and or the diverse geographic domains in which this type of research is done that caused or was the genesis of the problems. Nothing, different interpretations of the very same said values and principles did cause challenges and ethical conflicts. And finally, these findings have implications for global population health research, including the design and execution of polycentric and collaborative research programs. So, a lot to say. I'm looking forward to your questions, comments, and thoughts on this. Question period. Thank you.